It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Gary Hoffman.
Yeah. Baby.
Shannon Farron.
And I'm not going to brag about how much ass I kicked, but let's just say I kicked every single ass.
Gary and Shannon.
KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's the Gary and Shannon Show, Layla Muhammad and Mo Kelly. And Jacob Gonzalez on the ones and twos. Is this Flashback Friday?
Yes, and guess the year. I got to pick the year because I was in the room when Jacob walked in. Hey.
1996?
90?
I know it's Run DMC and Aerosmith. I can't remember the year.
The 90s?
Yeah, we don't do 90s here.
That's 80s, honey. What year was that?
88.
So it's way lower.
Okay. 86.
Yeah. Just give me a kiss.
Look, after a while, all the years just blend together.
You cannot confuse 80s music with 90s. Great music for both. I mean, Jacob and I were talking, and I said, let's do some 90s. And then we thought, well, I feel like 80s reaches more people, you know? I mean, a lot of us like the same music from the 80s. I'm a 90s lover, but 80s was good, too.
Yep. That was a good album.
And I chose the year based off of that song.
What do you remember most about that year?
Oh, it was a good year for me. I'm not going to tell you my age. Life was easy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I could do what I want. Okay. I was adorable.
I was, depending on the time of the year, in 86, I was either a junior in high school or a senior early portion of that year. So I was 16 turning 17 for most of 1986.
I may or may not have started kindergarten yet.
No. Yeah, I'm quite sure life was good back then.
Life was great. I used to climb trees and, you know, hang outside and play at the basketball court with my brother and friends. And
I mean, 1986 was a good time for me because at that point I knew where my life was headed as far as going to college. I didn't know which school, but I knew that I was closer to getting out of my parents' house than anything.
Yeah.
So that was a good time. And, you know, I was playing in the band and in the drum line.
Oh, I didn't know you were I knew you had musical skills. I knew you could sing and all of that. I didn't know you were in the drum line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I was first snare junior and senior year. So the funny thing is, I was not playing a marching band instrument when I came into high school. So I had to pick up percussion instruments to play in the marching band.
And made it to first snare?
Well, I mean, both my parents are music teachers, so it wasn't that difficult of a transition.
Oh, excuse me.
No, yeah. I'm just saying, it's like when you grow up in a house of nothing but music, then certain things are going to be just a little bit easier. Like when I went to college and I studied music as a minor, that wasn't that difficult. That wasn't like a real stretch for me. Anything, I just say that to say that was a good time in life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good times.
It was a good time.
And also, I remember that time, around that time, of just being really into the Olympics even still, because that was after the 84 Olympics in L.A. But I think we had just a different view of the Olympics. It had a much greater importance because the previous two Olympics, 80 and 84, were boycotted either by us or by Russia. That was the height of the Cold War. So the Olympics had a greater seeming significance at that time. And I think I carry that with me as far as why I continue to watch the Olympics even today. I'm much more in tune with the geopolitical nature of the significance of the Olympics.
Well, we have a lot of Olympic talk this morning. Before we get to that, really quickly, just a couple of stories we're following and staying on top of. The Navy says a sailor has been charged with starting that fire last year that destroyed the warship docked off San Diego. I think it was the USS Bonham Rashard. That's happening. Also, new evidence showing the Delta variant of COVID-19 is as contagious as chickenpox. And six passengers from a Royal Caribbean cruise have tested positive after the ship docked in the Bahamas. And Royal Caribbean said they were four of them were adults. They were all vaccinated against COVID. Two are minors who were not vaccinated.
Okay, now you just ruined it for me. I did get chickenpox in 1986. That much I do remember.
You know what, Mo? I had chickenpox. It may have been 85, around that time. Although, when I got the chickenpox, I still look back at that time and wonder if my mother sort of, you know, should have been reported to somebody. She made us all get it at the same time. She was that mom. Like, listen, I'm not taking off work for three kids. So she has it. All three of you stay home, hang out. And we all got chickenpox together. Was that a thing with parents back then? That sounds like
some parents.
That sounds like torture.
Look, I remember I remember how I got chickenpox and the kid I got it from, because I was going to martial arts class and there was this kid who in his mind had just gotten over the chickenpox and he thought it was funny. You could never get away with this in today's world, but I'm saying he thought it was funny if he went around and touched people, say, I'm going to give you the chickenpox. I remember to this day, and a week and a half later, I had chickenpox.
Yeah, it was really contagious. Yeah,
it was really bad.
Was the calamine? What was the lotion? Little pink lotion?
Calamine lotion.
Oh, that was the worst.
I had to sleep with socks on my hands
because so you wouldn't scratch.
Yeah, but I had a very, very bad case. I was 17 at the time, so it was.
It was later for you. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was really bad.
Yeah.
It was really bad. I remember it was a good week in which it was just suffering.
I remember that being I was really small, but it was a painful experience. I can remember that. It stands out as something that was not a walk in the park. It wasn't easy at all. And I just wanted to scratch all over, you know, but we couldn't.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't as best you could.
Thanks, Mom, for making us all get sick together. Okay, let's talk about the Olympics because and COVID, they go hand in hand right now. Japan expanding the virus emergency after they see a spike. Now, they said it's not related to the Olympics, though. The surge they're seeing in COVID cases unrelated to the Olympics. But
can you really separate the two?
I mean, because they don't have fans at the Olympics. Though,
no, I mean,
right?
Though, but still they're within the country and they're not quarantined per se. They still have contact with the outside world. And so an outbreak in Japan still has implications for the games, though, wouldn't it?
Right. But they're saying the games didn't cause the outbreak. This is right. Going to happen regardless, I think, because of how they're approaching it. But they declared an emergency, the prime minister did, in three areas near Tokyo and then a western city of Osaka. And this effective until the 31st of August. I guess half of their beds, the bed capacity they have for hospitalizations, half of them are already being used. So they're trying to expand their emergency.
I have to give it to them. They are doing better than what I expected. I thought that COVID was going to have an even bigger footprint on these Olympics at this point. We're at the halfway point. I thought it was going to be much more disruptive than it has been. I mean, that could all change tomorrow. I don't want to jinx them in any way, but I will give them credit for at least managing it up until this point, where it's more a footnote as opposed to a featured portion of the games themselves.
Yeah, there's so many other things happening during the games for us to even, you know, focus on the COVID part. One thing being how the athletes are getting their medals this time because of COVID. You know, normally there is a dignitary who will put the medal around each winner's neck on the podium, and now they're helping each other.
I love that. It makes it more personable, mm-hmm. and personal, actually. And you can see the facial expressions. It just seems like it, not literally your mom giving it to you, but someone who understands the struggle that you've gone through up until that point, as opposed to a random stranger. As it were. Yeah, I like those moments. And just one quick anecdote before we go to this break. It was really cool for me to be able to see the son of someone I know and one of my mentors for more than 30 years. His son, he didn't medal, but he's on the fencing team.
But he made it.
Yeah.
Just getting there
just
is
getting
a
there.
Huge honor, right?
But I got to see his son's life from his birth. All the times he went to the different fencing tournaments, they call it Sabre, in the Olympics, and see his growth, and then to see him on my own TV, his name's Khalil Thompson, in Tokyo, it's like, wow. To put it this way, it made it more personal for me when I could see, I know he worked for the past 20 years just doing that, and all the tournaments that his father would post photos of and everything, and to be able to see the fruits of that labor like that. Not everyone can be as dedicated. There's a talent portion to all this, but not everyone has that type of dedication.
Was Khalil already interested in fencing, or was this something that the father said, like, we're going to try him out at this, and I know he's going
to He asked to do it, and the parents supported him. He just kind of found it along the way. It wasn't like his parents decided, no, you're going to do this. No, not at all.
No, because when we were younger, most of our friends were doing like the same sports, right? You played basketball, baseball, you did volleyball. No slight to those sports. I mean, I played basketball. I was on the track team. But like my sister, my younger sister, she found Latin and ballroom dancing. So she became a competitive dancer. None of us had ever done that. But she grew up in the era of watching Dancing with the Stars. And so she found it. So that's her thing. So that might have been how the young man Khalil, right?
Yeah, you might have seen it on TV. I don't know. Yeah. I have to ask his father how he first found it. But that made it personal for me. It's like, yes, I have a personal rooting interest in that regard, because I get to see the culmination of someone's journey.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Were you like yelling at the TV?
Oh, absolutely.
Aww.
And my wife was saying, what is wrong with you?
And the dog's telling
the story,
like, huh?
Right. This is the Gary and Shannon Show. Mo Kelly, Layla Muhammad. When we come back, your chance to win $1,000. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. See, Mondo, she was dancing, and you did not catch it or memorialize it on video.
It's okay. Mondo's doing a million things.
Gary and Shannon
Show.
He's
always busy.
Yeah, he's just playing on the internet. I can see. That's Spotify he has up on his screen
okay.
right now. As we continue our thoughts about the Olympics.
Yeah, we're looking at this explainer. That Mondo found, which is really cool, you know, because people say, oh, you're an Olympian. Are you a world champion? And so the question is an Olympic champion by definition a world champion? And there really is a difference.
Oh, there is a difference. Yeah.
But people will just say, oh, that's a world champion. But, you know, the Olympics are made up of 33 sports, each run by a federation, and they have their own world championship. So you're not necessarily a world champion if you're an Olympian or Olympic champion.
I try to liken it to boxing. If you know boxing, someone can be the WBA champion, WBC, WBO, IBF, and what have you, intercontinental champion, and they have different governing bodies, but people will still refer to all of them as world champions.
Either way, you're walking around with an Olympic medal. Good for you.
Yeah, and I sometimes it's more a distinction without a difference. Yes, there are the world championships, and people get medals for that. But if you win an Olympic medal, you're a world champion to me. I don't care what anyone says.
Right. You've been watching some sports, and you said you watch women's basketball.
This morning for them, last night for us.
I should say some games. I said sport, but you know what I mean? You've been watching some of the games.
Okay, go ahead. Women's basketball, which was really well played. They were playing Japan, and Japan was shooting threes like nobody's business. They were just hitting nothing but bottom.
Wow.
And that was their strategy. Even before the game started, they had all their players around the three-point line just shooting threes because there was such a height differential between the Japanese team and the American team.
Right.
You had Brittany Griner, who's 6'8". 6'8". And so they said, well, we're just going to outspeed them and outquick them as far as outquick the United States.
And outshoot them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was working for about three quarters. And then eventually the Americans, we just pulled away. But it was a really good game. It was well played. And after that, I was watching women's diving last night, which was very interesting.
Now, you do referee games, basketball games.
Yes.
So I just learned this about Mo the other day because he posted a picture of him with his little cute socks on the court.
There were socks and more knee brace and ankle brace. But yeah, socks.
I said, oh, his cute socks. You were being a ref for one of these. You have
a varsity high school.
Okay. Oh, it's actually a varsity high school game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mo's out there refereeing, and I didn't know that he has done this like forever, since college, you said? It's been a long time.
Yeah, since college, yeah.
When you're watching the games, you're watching that game last night between the U.S. and Japan, were you calling things ahead of the refs calling things? Like, did you know what was about to be called?
Many times, yes. And a lot of times, I don't even listen to the commentators. In other words, when a ref blows the whistle, I know by what they call their mechanics, what they're calling. So I don't need to wait for the announcer. The announcer says, well, there's a foul. It seems like, I don't know if they called a foul. Yes, they put a foul. They called a foul because they put their hand up in a position where the fist is straight up. That's the designation for a foul. you see a game differently. I watch the rotations of the officials, who is making a call from whatever position that they're in. They're working what is called a three-man crew. When you're in high school, you're doing two-man crew, unless you're in like the playoffs and you do three. But I can do two or three.
You have so many talents, Mo.
I don't know about talents. I think it's jobs, just jobs.
You know who's not having a good Olympics, who didn't have one?
Who?
Australia's Aaron Baines.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Poor Aaron.
And he's, you know, Toronto Raptors center, by the way, Aaron Baines. He was playing for the Australian men's basketball team. So he already had a on-the-court injury during Wednesday night's victory over Italy. Then he fell in the bathroom and made the injury worse. So he's already injured, a neck injury, by the way, during the second half of the game. Then he goes to the restroom, slips and falls.
In his defense, I will say this. If you've ever been in like a hotel bathroom, you get some water on the floor. I haven't seen what his room looks like, but I've almost busted my ass more than once in a hotel bathroom.
I almost fell in the shower this morning.
Hello?
I don't know how that was. I was like, how is this possible? Like, why am I slipping in the shower? It's just random.
So I understand how it could happen, but I'm quite sure it's pretty embarrassing for him that it happened on top of his already on-court injury. COVID didn't get him, but the bathroom did.
Meanwhile, the U.S. men's basketball team. Oh wait. Never mind.
Oh, were you getting ready to give some information?
No, because they were out in the first game. Remember, they didn't get past this weekend.
No, I think they're still in it.
I thought they were out. Didn't we lose?
They lost, but it wasn't a knockout round.
So. Oh, am I wrong? I could have sworn we were
done.
Yeah,
they play tonight, as a matter of fact.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Excuse me. Don't get your Olympics news from me.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they play tonight. And I think tonight is a part of the elimination medal round.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm wrong. You would be right.
Yeah, they're still in. But, you know, that's subject to change without notice.
I don't know why I thought they were out.
Because they lost their first
game. They did lose. Okay, they did lose the first game. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. All right, ignore me.
And it depends on the sport. Some sports, if you lose, you know, you don't have that qualifying round. They don't have, like, group play, as they call it. So, yeah. We're still in it. For now.
Oh, I see. They did bounce back from the opening loss and defeated Iran 120. Oh, that was a good win. 120-66. That was the other day. Okay, I'm late.
But it's Iran. They're not exactly a basketball powerhouse.
I'm sorry, y'all. I thought I knew something I didn't know. Well, at least I can admit when I'm wrong.
This is the Gary and Shannon Show. Mo Kelly, Lila Muhammad, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's the Gary and Shannon Show. I'm Mo Kelly, and I'm joined by Lila Muhammad. And did you by chance see the trailer for Stillwater?
I told Mondo, I saw it yesterday evening, and it took me a second to realize what I was watching, but it didn't wow me. You know what I mean? I didn't look at it and say, oh, I have to see this movie. Aside from Matt Damon, I didn't feel that wow factor.
I agree with you, and when I saw the trailer, I don't like movies with titles which give me no indication what a movie is about. Historically, that doesn't bode well for a movie. You know, if you see a movie with The Unbearable Lightness of Being, it's like, what the hell is that? What is that movie about? And I think that was a problem with the movie Edge of Tomorrow. I like the movie, but most people, I think, kind of got lost in the title. What does Edge of Tomorrow mean? I say that to say, when I saw the trailer, not knowing what it's about, having no background at all, other than Matt Damon was in it, it took me about 35 seconds for me to realize, oh, this is the Amanda Knox story.
Right.
Unprompted from anyone else or anything. That's the first thing which jumped into my mind, not reading any type of controversy or news coverage connected to Amanda Knox. That was my assumption just from the story. And, you know, they changed the names and the people, you know, whatever. And I wondered if she was connected to it. I actually did wonder.
Well, the answer is no, she's not. And she is speaking out about people profiting off of her name and the story involving her life, saying that she's tired of people ripping off her story without her consent at the expense of her reputation. And she specifically called out Stillwater in a tweet. that she sent yesterday saying, does my name belong to me, my face? What about my life, my story? Why does my name refer to events I had no hand in? I return these questions because others continue to profit off my name, face, and story without my consent. Most recently, the film, #Stillwater.
She used the word consent. I don't know in a legal sense whether anyone needs her permission or consent unless she trademarked her story in the form of a screenplay, treatment, book, something. If I'm not mistaken, it's public domain because it's, you know, it's a news event. I'm quite sure there's a movie out there about some former athlete who allegedly killed his ex-wife and her friend. I don't know if OJ would have any rights to that. I don't know. Now, I'm sympathetic to Amanda Knox. I think she is right. Yes, they basically took her life. And maybe it's something that she could sue and get something on the back end. But as far as consent goes or permission, I don't know if she would have a leg to stand on in that regard unless she had some sort of trademark or copyright with her life story.
Right. The director, Tom McCarthy, did say that Amanda's case inspired the storyline. Inspired. Didn't say the whole thing was about it, but it inspired it. And so if people don't know the name Amanda Knox, which at this point I feel like the whole world does, but she had been convicted with her boyfriend, her former boyfriend at the time. And then they were later acquitted in the 2007 murder of Knox's roommate, Meredith Kircher, in Italy. And then later, the guy, the only DNA that was found at the scene was that of the guy, Rudy Guidi. I think I'm saying his name right. Rudy was his name. He was the only person who was still serving a sentence in Kircher's death. And he was granted permission last year to finished the rest of his sentence with community service. We got like a lesser sentence.
I have to think at this point, this is probably pretty traumatic for her because it brings up all these old memories. And I really don't feel one way or the other about the case itself to say, I think she was wrongfully accused or convicted. The bottom line is she was later acquitted of the crime. So I'm going to take that verdict at its word. But Amanda Knox, I would be more concerned whether she has any legal standing here. And it seems like the way she's approaching it, she is complaining on social media, but I don't know if it's anything beyond that. I think she's more bothered and angry and maybe justifiably so. But where it goes from here, I don't know, because movie studios are notorious for covering their bases on this.
I feel like, listen, Lifetime will do a story about everybody's life. And I'm sure they're not conferring with everybody's family. They're not calling the royal family to say we're doing a Meghan and Harry pre-marriage story. Remember they had that story before the big red wedding?
That's right. Remember Law and Order ripped from the headlines. They will do their episodic TV show, and it is eerily reminiscent of what's happening in the news right at that time. Do they change the names? Yes. Do they change some details slightly? Yes, they do. But it's obvious when they talked about this very prominent superstar musician who was accused of possibly molesting young children. Oh, they're making reference to the Michael Jackson trial.
Right. But I think even for her, if she's saying, you know, I'm still maintaining my innocence. I did not do this. I did not do this. And I've been acquitted. And I can't move on with my newfound innocence after spending time in prison for a crime that she says, you know, I had nothing to do with. She says the movie still paints her as guilty. You know, that's something she's going to always live with. People have their opinions about whether or not what went down really went down the way that it initially was said that it did with she and her boyfriend. But she just wants to move on and not walk around, as she says, wrongfully convicted. And so she feels like this movie is making her relive that
trauma.
That's
interesting, because when I looked at the trailer, I get the sense that the daughter in the movie was wrongly convicted and Matt Damon, the father, is going to come exonerate her, get her out of jail, unless there's a twist in the movie.
I don't know. I haven't seen the movie yet, but that's what she says. It makes her reputation, it distorts the fact that she was, convicted. I mean, that she was acquitted, and that it makes her reputation look wrongfully destroyed. That's what she says, wrongfully destroyed.
Well, I think she needs to get a lawyer at this point, because I don't know if she's going to win this in the court of public opinion.
Yeah.
It's the Gary and Shannon Show. Layla Muhammad.
I just said, yeah.
O'Kelly. Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah. I wish her the best, but, you know, Instagram and Twitter is not going to help her. KFI 8640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
It's got what it takes. So tell me, why can't this be love?
This is the Gary and Shannon Show on this Friday morning. Our year is 1986 for Jacob Music today. And this is who, Mo?
Van, again, a lot of, I call it Van Hagar. Okay, because this is Van Halen with Sammy Hagar as the lead singer, not David Lee Roth.
Okay.
So I call it Van Hagar, as other people do. I didn't coin the term, but I'm more of a Van Halen.
You sound like you're a hater.
Oh, Amy, come on with the quickness. Yes,
I am a Van Halen purist. How about that?
Okay.
Come on, Amy King, that was great.
Do I like the song? Yes. It's just not what I happen to think of as far as Van Halen.
So you hate New Journey, too?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, it's not their fault that Steve quit.
I know that. I'm not blaming anyone. I'm just saying when I think of Journey, I want Steve singing. You know.
Well, who doesn't? I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying.
But the other guy does a pretty good job.
No, I know. I know. Sounds a lot like him, everything. But I think that was true for, like, for example, I didn't like the new Commodores after Lionel Richie left. You know, that's just, and
is
it's not,
there a new Commodores?
Yes, there is.
Okay. Yeah,
when they did the song Night Shift. Lionel Richie had left the gonna be some sweet sounds coming down on the night shift. That was Commodores without Lionel Richie. Song was a hit. I like the song. I'm just not a fan of the Commodores without Lionel Richie.
Well, now we know.
And the same with the Temptations. They got lost Dennis Edwards and whatever and all the original members. So I'm consistent in that regard.
So Chicago? So you don't like all the bands that are not the full band anymore?
Especially,
Chicago, yeah, they have to have like three of the original members.
Well, put it this way, when you lose the lead singer, like for example, Earth, Wind, and Fire will never be the same for me.
But because they still sound so good.
They do, but Maurice White, unfortunately, is gone.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's not going to feel the same. It's not a diss on the group. It's just, I just can't get those same, you know.
I hear you. And this sounds like a really good personal conversation.
Oops.
It's okay.
I was just answering her question.
No, no, y'all, listen, I'm about to go make some pancakes.
Ooh, pancakes.
we can keep band talking. I'll be back. I'll be back in about 10 minutes. Y'all let me know.
Okay. We'll get to the matter at hand.
Right.
Nexium. That case has come to an end. Yeah, it's Nexium.
But you said you know a lot about this case because you've been watching one. There are several docuseries about this, right?
Yeah, there was a... I can't remember the one on Netflix I was watching, but it was episodic and it took you through all the different steps and the people who were connected to it, firsthand accounts. And it's almost paint by numbers in the sense of how people fall into a cult. This desire to belong and feel that you are a part of something greater than you, and you have a charismatic personality who will present himself, and I say himself because 99 times out of 99 is a dude who will present himself as unassuming and humble and caring and supportive and uses that as a gateway to some ulterior motive. Usually it has to do with sex or power over people. And Keith Raniere was just another one like that, where he was playing on the insecurities of younger women, sometimes girls from what I understand. And he would then have women in his employ recruit other women throughout Hollywood or other different professional circles to come be a part of this cult.
Yeah, and I watch a lot of these. There are shows about cults, too, not just like a docuseries, but there might be like, you know, a fictional show based on like real life events, right?
Right.
That may have happened. But the latest in this whole saga is Lauren Salzman, who was a former high-ranking member who is the one who testified against Keith Raniere at his 2019 trial. So she's avoided a 7 to 9 year prison sentence because of that testimony. So she would not go to prison.
She was on home confinement for the past couple of years. And it seems like, how is that different from COVID lockdown? It seemed like, I'm not trying to be flippant, but it just seemed like she got a very good deal. But prosecutors say that she was instrumental
right.
in giving all sorts of information that they just did not have access to. And that was part of the reason why they came to this decision.
Now, her mother co-founded Nexium with Keith Raniere, right?
Yes.
And so the mother will have her day still, like Nancy Sausman. Doesn't she still have to go for her sentencing?
It seems that way. It seems that way. And this case has gone on for so long, it sometimes the names start blurring together with Allison Mack and so forth as far as who had what level of responsibility in either the recruitment or the brainwashing or the knowledge of crimes along the way.
She gets sentenced September 8th. Yes, she pleaded guilty to racketeering and conspiracy. Gotcha. So the mother hasn't had hers yet. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, but Keith Raniere got 120 years, which actually surprised me that they did not only throw the book at him, but it stuck on all those counts for 120 years. But just working in entertainment, I understand the power of course they say the cult of personality, but the power of charisma, that's what I try to call it, where you have someone who is not necessarily super good looking, but just has a way of being able to connect with people and prey upon their insecurities. And then all of a sudden you would have what starts off as just a small group of people, and it just grows from there where you've gained total control over a person's life.
Especially when someone's going through something. So this cult in particular was marketing itself as a self-help group. Right?
As always it is.
So people are finding a sense of community, folks who can help them get out of whatever loneliness or isolation they might be feeling. So I'm going to go here and get this help that I need. And then other stuff is happening. Sex trafficking, forced labor, racketeering.
It is incremental in nature. They start with just things that you can help in your day-to-day life, but then slowly it starts to take over your whole life, where you're told how to dress, how to speak, whom you speak to, who you can't speak to. And more times than not, they also isolate you from your family members, because in all the cults, the family is somehow getting in the way of your spiritual or emotional growth.
So three other members have already been sentenced. You mentioned, obviously, that the ringleader, Keith Raniere, was sentenced to 120 years, and two others have also been sentenced. So, like I said, the next big one is the mom who co-founded it, Nancy, in September.
And, of course, when that happens, we'll be...
You'll be talking about it. I guess I have to watch one of these docuseries. They said there's one on Stars. That might be the big one. Seduced, Inside the NXIVM Cult, and the HBO's The Vow.
That's the one you saw.
Yes. HBO's The Vow. So I need to check. I'll check that one out.
The Vow is really good. This is the Gary and Shannon Show. Mo Kelly and Layla Muhammad. KFI AM 640. We are live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online, schedule package pickups through the dashboard, and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.